Okay. Okay, I'm going to take up where we left off last night a little bit. I was finished, I threw in made reference to a couple other events that I'm going to start with, and then we're going to get to this prophecy that is very, very significant. Is that I was in the just ending with the year of transition, 1996, and talked about the Benny Hinn dream that I had in 93. So I was on a platform with him, and then it's some years later, now it's October 96, I'm on the platform in Toronto, then later on that night, Mark DuPont, who I consider the primary prophetic voice in the Toronto ministry in those days, and then he called me up on the platform, he talked about you're in a time of transition, he gave a few more details about it, I talked a little bit about that last night. Okay, then what happens is still in 1996, I want to give you just a little bit more of what's going on, is that Paul Kane has a visitation from the Lord in May or June of 1996, and in this visitation from the Lord spoke to him the acronym IHOP. And in this acronym IHOP, our IHOP did not begin three years later, but he had I for intercession, H for holiness of heart, O for offering to the poor, and P for the prophetic ministry. And it says the Lord's calling us to this in a fresh way, in a new way, which are really the four things the Lord spoke to me in Cairo, Egypt in 1982. That those of you that are familiar with the story, you remember that. And those that have you been here these 12 nights, you're going, oh boy, I've got so many stories, I can't remember what that was. But the idea that we would build it on night and day prayer, it must be built on that. It must be built on holiness of heart, which we call passion for Jesus or intimacy with God, or becoming lovesick worshipers that obey the Lord, that follow the Lamb wherever he goes. It must be built on extravagant giving to the poor, and it must be built on the realm of faith or the activity of the Spirit, and we can call it prophetic. So the Lord speaks us to Paul, it renews us. And then a month later, we have a conference in June of 96, and Paul Kane comes to the conference. He goes, I have the word of the Lord, a very powerful word, a sad word, a grievous word. He said, the Lord says, you have the fear of man. You have a element of the fear of man in your heart that's holding you back from the IHOP reality, God, that I just called, the Lord just recalled us to. And I remember thinking, I don't feel like I do. And a few more little pieces of divine information later, I said, I guess I really do. Ouch. And we called the whole church into repentance, and I repented for the fear of man. And the fear of man was, there's many facets of the fear of man, but it's a very important part of our story, that I was drawing back from the difficult, the burdensome nature, the social burden of this message. And I was focusing on subjects that were kind of dodging the elements of this IHOP message that have real teeth in it, that really cut and create very, very important to the Lord to take the stand on those points, but they create social dynamics that are not pleasant. And I got up and repented and called our leadership team, and they repented. And the Lord says, I want to heal you from the fear of man. And you must take a stand, because the promises God has given you as a people cannot go forward except you are bold and you do not look back in these subjects. You must be bold, not only in the living of them, but the proclaiming of them, but you're never ever going to live them if you can't boldly proclaim them. And that was a painful summer. Then on July 17, 1996, I'm in a conference in Dallas, and I get a phone call from Paul Kane. He's in Pasadena, and he says, I've had an angelic visitation. The Lord told him to relocate to Kansas City and told him some things about that. And we made a big deal out of it. We had a bunch of meetings and really celebrated that. And then in the wake of that, he had the Bartle Hall word in 1990 and then in second installment in 1996. And the Lord spoke about the 40,000, the new would be gathering many times. 40,000 would be gathering in that building. And there'd be a new approach to holiness. There would be a young adult movement and a new kind of music, a new sound, and it would go forth. And And he talked about the movement, and it was time to begin to talk about the movement and all of these things. And now that the Lord is healing you from the fear of man, you're never healed in one event, and you're never fully healed of it. Don't think because you repent and you have a season where the Lord convicts you, it's over with. It's not a done deal in my life nor your life. This is probably the great Goliath in the move of God, is the fear of man. It really, really is. It's not the fear of fasting. It's not the fear of giving. It's not the fear of obeying. It's the fear of standing for what you believe at the highest level. When the Lord appears to Joshua after Moses dies in Joshua chapter 1, it always surprised me. I never could figure it out. The Lord appears to Joshua after 40 years and he says, Joshua, be of good courage. I thought, courage? I mean, after all the miracles, what is courage? Courage is the issue when you move out of the wilderness years to go into the land. It truly is courage. And I've always loved Joshua 1:8 because it talks about meditating on the word as the way to be free from the fear to have courage. When the wilderness years are over and it's time to take the land, the issue is courage. And courage comes by trembling and living in the Word of God. But then actually it's just after that is the Benny Hinn thing I talked about last night. And it is the transition time. And then Mark DuPont says the transition is here. And then the accidental 40-day fast, meaning the idea of just saying yes to the Bill Bright invitation, and the Lord moves on it, and it becomes something I didn't think it was going to be. It got a hold of us in the grace of God and became something dynamic. It became a birth canal, a transition and a birth canal. I mentioned that last night, and it's exciting that today, this is a very important day, November 7th, our own Wes and Carol, they had their baby. The birth canal happened, and the transition happened, and little Jeremiah David was born last night. And this morning, on November 7th. November 7th, at 9:30. This is such an important day. This is truly one of the most important days in our history up to now. In my opinion, it is. That's just how I see it. But anyway, the fasting comes, and it's a time of transition. And then I have this very powerful prophetic dream right after that 40 days of seeking the Lord. It's this, I mentioned it last night, but I want to get it on the tape so you can hear it because it was afterwards. This runner comes. It's a man where you can't see his face and he has a message from the Lord. And Bob Jones taught me some years ago, he goes, when you have a messenger from God declaring a message from the court of God and it has authority on it and you can't see their face in dream life, that's often just a symbol of the Holy Spirit. This runner comes running in. I'm in the office with a couple guys, and he breaks open the door. I mean, he just hits it, and the door comes flying open. He has a scroll in his hand, and he comes running. He says, the kingdom of God is coming to Kansas City. The kingdom of God is coming to Kansas City. And I understood it meant the power of God is going to be released in this geographic area for worldwide impact. And again, far beyond our context, because we're part of a much bigger picture in Kansas City, and Kansas City is a part of a much bigger picture, a global strategy in the Midwest as it affects the whole globe. And that was the original Bob Jones angelic visitation in 1975. That Kansas City had a corporate calling that went together with the Midwest, and it would affect the whole globe. And so we're a part of a big dynamic across the city and across the entire Midwest. When you look at the global strategy, it has to do with that. And so this runner comes in with a scroll. And I know in this scroll, it's part of our invitation into this vision far bigger than IHOP and far bigger than Kansas City. It has to do with the Midwest, together ministries all over the Midwest and going together in prophetic and intercession, affecting dynamically the nation of Israel. That's what the words have consistently been from day one. Prophetic and intercession in a large space, I mean, far bigger than Kansas City. Again, the whole Midwest, affecting world revival and affecting the nation of Israel. And so anyway, this runner comes in with a scroll, says, the kingdom of God is coming to Kansas City. Are you ready? And what he was saying, are you ready to take your part of the scroll? Are you ready to say yes to this? And I remember there's a couple things I'm not adding into it because just for time's sake, and I look at this runner, and I'm just staring at this runner. I don't answer yes or no. I'm just staring. And then the dream's over, and then, wow, what a powerful dream. The dream I have it the second time. The runner breaks in with a scroll, offers the scroll, and the idea is I'm supposed to take it, but I didn't take it. And are you ready? The kingdom of God is coming to Kansas City, which meant a manifestation of power, which meant a historic visitation that will touch the whole city and it will go across the ends of the earth. And again, I stare and say nothing, and it happens the third time, exactly the same thing. Are you ready? I never answer. Then six months later, November 1997, and it's the beginning of the new season that was birthed through that intense time of seeking the Lord. John Kilpatrick from Pensacola comes and he speaks to me in this dream, and he says, "Are you ready?" It's the same question. And at the first time he asks, "Are you ready?" I answer it. At least my silence is broken. And of course, in dreams, you can't make it happen. But the Lord's really showing you other dynamics in dream language. And I say, "No." And well, there you have it, you know. and it was true. It was really true. And then he asks me again. Some things happen in a dream. And then I say, "Yes." And the yes, I believe, is right now. I believe this November 7th, the end of this 50 days of seeking the Lord is really critical. The other key event that happened in 1997 was on May 7th, 1997, the 14-year anniversary from the May 7th, 1983 solemn assembly in the Comet. I don't want to go into it a great deal, but I'm in Assisi, Italy, where St. Francis in his the monastery named after him in the hometown that he is that, and the Lord begins to stir me and touch me, and I go to bed, and I wake up, and I stay up all night. But I'm up all night, and the only thing happening is in that whole Italian monastery in Assisi, Italy, is this one book in English. They have like 100 books in Italian. So there's one in English. It's his life story. So I read the whole thing all night. And the Lord begins to speak to me, and he spoke to me in a very powerful way. I don't want to go through the story now. And he said, "Friends of the Bridegroom." The first time I ever thought of that, I knew the verse. I'd preached on it in passing a time or two, but never was that an important verse to me ever. And the Lord spoke so clearly, "Friends of the Bridegroom." And I looked at my Bible where, you know, I knew that verse. I wasn't 100% sure what it was fully about. I knew it was important, and I found out it was John the Baptist, John 3:29. Of course, I've lived in it since then, and so have many of you. And I believe that the scroll that the Lord wants to give us, the scroll, I'm adding this part, would have written on it, "Friends of the Bridegroom." That's our contribution to the big picture of what's going on. Okay, so then 1997's over, 1999. The Lord says it's the time to release IHOP. We began it in May 7th, 1999. And then that was 13 hours a day. And then the full time on September 19th. Okay. So 99 goes by in the 3 years. And here it is, September 19th. It's September 19th. We're having our third year anniversary. And it's, hey, 3 years. Here we are. And that night, I'm together with our family. We're at the theater place, you know, and we're watching the play Les Miserables. I'm there, and the Lord begins. It's maybe the fourth or fifth time this has happened. This wind and fire thing happens that I've talked about several times in this testimony for 12 days, and it happens again. And every time that happens, something's up. And I just think, "Lord, what's going on? What's going on?" Deborah Perkins had many, many prophetic dreams. And she says, "It's the time, the transition. It's time. We're at the third year coming up. It's transition. I know it from the Lord. We're supposed to go on a long fast." And I remember my famous last words. This is on Monday and before Wednesday at the family deal. On Monday, I said, not a chance. I said, "I'm so weary right now, I couldn't think of going on a fast." And she goes, "Well, I'm telling you, it's the transition time, and it is the Lord, and I think we're going on it. I've had a number of dreams, we're going on it." And I said, "Great, not me. I'm not, you know, maybe next year, after we get in the building, you know, talk to me then, and we'll see." She goes, "Well, we'll see." So I'm at that, it's 2-3 days later, now it's September 18th and Wednesday night, and I'm at this thing, and all of a sudden this wind and fire thing. Again, I've only had this, you know, five, six, seven, you know, four or five times, whatever, in 30 years, and it happens. I've got my head in my hands, leaning over. My head is in my hands, you know, 10, 20, 30 minutes, my wife says, hey, are you okay? And I said, yes. And she goes, oh, okay, something's going on. I said, yeah, something's going on. I don't know what to make sense of it. And I see this real clear vision, and I'm not one given to visions. I see this banner, September 19th to November 7th, which of course is today. It's just so clear in my mind, and I hear the Lord speak, Jubilee, I'm going to release the promises. Jubilee, I'm going to release the promises. And I'm thinking, okay, and I don't even want to count the days up. And the Lord's on me. I get up and go walk around, and my family goes, oh boy, what's he doing now? And I'm just under this thing. I missed the whole deal. I'm walking back and forth the whole time at the very back, just pacing, and it's happening. Just download, download, download. And it's just the Lord saying, it's now the time. It's the Jubilee. It's the Jubilee. And I'm gripped, and I know something's going on. And I went home and sat down, and I said, if this is 50 days, it can't be. Because I didn't even want to count at the place. But I get the calendar, and I have 48, 49, 50, November 7th. I go, oh, no, 50 days. So the next day, got the leadership together, and they all said, yes, yes, yes. What was the number? We had 8, 10, 15 dreams. Everybody was hearing this. 40-day fast, 50-day fast, long fast, start now, so we're on it. We're going for it. The real highlight to me of the whole 50 days was on the 47th day. And it was just Monday. It's what I called our dedication service at the 10 a.m. prayer meeting, the two-hour prayer meeting. And what happened, I'm going to read here from Isaiah chapter 66. I read this verse, or I just spoke it out loud. It says, but on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit and who trembles at my word, Isaiah 66, 2. And so I began to lead in prayer, and we began to have a corporate dedication, and it went nearly the entire 2 hours just on this idea here, on the idea of bowing down before the Lord and trembling at his word. And so I'm calling the people to that. Now, if somebody said, what does it mean to tremble for his word? If I had one verse I would have to use, it would be Philippians 3:13, when Paul says this, and it may not even at first strike you, when Paul says, this one thing I do, I forget what lies behind. That to me, at the end of the day, is what it means to tremble at his word. And what I mean by that is that when we tremble at his word, we forget our dedication. We don't negotiate with God on the basis of how dedicated we are. We forget it. And we forget our weakness and our failure as well. And we esteem his word over us. We esteem his dedication. And even this, we esteem his weakness. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Though he was rich, he became poor for us. He became weak for us, it says in Corinthians as well. He became poor and he became weak that we might become rich. And what happens in the trembling at his word, what we do is we take God at face value at his word, and we tremble before his word, and we say, your riches and your dedication mean way more to us than us, than ours. And even our weakness, as horrible as it is, we're going to keep believing you because your weakness when you became sin was far superior. And we esteem, what we do, we really do, is that we say yes, what Mary said when the angel visited, be it done to me according to your word. That's what it means to tremble at his word. And we don't rise up and say, well, I deserve this. No, we esteem what he did. And we don't say, well, maybe in a year or two when I get around to, kind of evening the score. No, we just push delete on both sides and we tremble. If God said it, it is final. We're going forward with it. And so I was calling us to tremble at his word and to bow down before the Lord. And then a very, very significant thing that takes place is that Deborah Perkins comes walking up, and takes the microphone. And she said, I had a dream May 4th, 18 months ago, 2001. And she said, this is happening. It's happening right in front of our eyes. And I just had her share it for a moment. She goes, it is right now happening. And I said, okay. And I said, tell us the dream. And she has it all written down and has had it. And a few of her friends have looked over. And so in this dream, what's happening is that we're on a long fast in this dream. This is 18 months ago. A bunch of us are on a long fast. And I stand up in the dream and I say, we have to be a people who tremble. We have to be a people who tremble. And I was talking to the IHOP family, and then I said, we have to be a people who bow before the Lord. The very things I just said. So she comes up and says, Mike, this is 18 months ago. This happened in the dream. And she said, and then in the dream you read Isaiah 66 verse 2, what you just read. But anyway, in the middle of this dream, I stand up in the dream. This is, again, 18 months ago. I said, I don't ask a lot of this team, but this is what I insist on. That we tremble at his word and we bow down before the word of God. And that's what I said 18 months ago. And she noticed in the dream 18 months ago, there was a weight of God on me, a seriousness on me. And then I started prophesying back in May 2001 in her dream. And I said, there's going to be an IHOP in the north. There's going to be one in the south, one in the east, one in the west. Of course, you're going to see in a minute. That's in this blueprint prophecy we're going to go through in a minute. I started prophesying elements from that. And then I said this in the dream 18 months ago. The blueprint prophecy begins now. And the blueprint prophecy, what we're going to look at in just a moment, we're going to look at it briefly because there's mystery dimensions to it I don't grasp. And you'll it's all written down, so you don't have to, we don't have to cover it all or try to cover everything tonight, but you have it. And she says, and afterwards we talk, she goes, do you understand what has just happened? She says, 18 months ago, I saw this. You read Isaiah 66, verse 2. You called us to tremble. You called us to bow. The weight of God was on you. You said that's the most important thing that we do. You said we're going to have IHOPs in the north, south, east, and west. You said that the blueprint prophecy begins. And of course, what strikes my mind is Jubilee. Jubilee. That's what the Lord told me. September 19th to November 7th. Jubilee. And so I've been waiting for this confirmation because as we look at this prophecy I received 18 years ago, it says, the very first line of it, it says, do not begin till God confirms it. And I believe that the beginning of it, to begin it in an overt way, is like I said earlier, you're never going to stand true to something you don't proclaim. You must proclaim what you're going to stand true to, or if you keep it secret and stand true to it, you waver under pressure. That's why it says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 and 11, that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Because when you say it, you are accountable, you're on record, it looses angels, demons, and it looses the hearts of people for you and against you. Many dynamics happen when it is said. And the word of your testimony isn't just how you met the Lord. The word of your testimony is the spirit of prophecy, is the testimony of Jesus. You enter into his testimony, what's burning on his heart, even related to your little life. You stand with agreement on what God said. And 18 years ago, I received this word, and it was confirmed in the most astounding way, which I'm going to give you just a little bit on that because it has to do with all of us. And it has to do with much more than IHOP. I mean, the word is bigger than our ministry. It's like everything. When any servant of God obeys and a whole group of people press in together, the water level goes up for everybody. Every church, every ministry in the Midwest and Kansas City that's saying yes, everyone, all the body of Christ is getting a higher water level. It's just how it works. It's just the way God has joined us together in the body of Christ. Okay, so in this blueprint prophecy, I want to say this, the most, because I've shared now 12 nights of prophetic testimonies, and of course people are asking me, well, which is your favorite? Well, favorite, that's a funny word. I don't know how to answer favorite. I know the one that is the most powerful, and that's probably what it means. It would be the August 1984, the one about the chariot, the one where I had the personal experience, unquestionably. That is the most powerful word experience I've ever received ever in my life. And then someone said, okay, apart from that one, how about from a person? And I would have to, unquestionably, the one that you have in your hands is the most significant word ever given for us corporately. There is nothing to me that has a greater scope of understanding and a greater scope of impact, of implication, I mean, than this word. And the Lord confirmed it in a very, very powerful way. He confirmed it in a way that was proportionate to its meaning to us. If it's the most significant word, and we've had all these other testimonies through the years, you would think God would confirm this one at a pretty significant level, and he did. Now this is the most significant word I've ever received for us corporately. The most significant word I've ever received individually, as an individual, I've never shared it publicly, would have been from Paul Kane. He gave it to me on January 1st, 1990. It had to do with Zechariah chapter 4. And I just want to say it for the record, because I referenced Zechariah 4, the most astounding, powerful, personal word I've ever received from a prophet. The only thing more powerful would have been the visitation in August 84 that I talked about with the chariot and the apostolic ministries coming forth. But Paul Kane told me something. I've never shared it publicly. I don't think I ever will. I've only shared it one time, actually, to a group of people. It was at Matt Candler's house with about 10 of them were there. And because something really powerful happened with Zechariah 4, and I told them. But I talk about Zechariah 4 a lot. It's shown up 5 different times in 20 years in the most clear way. I mentioned Joel chapter 2 was very, very important to us. Joel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 9. And I want to add to that Zechariah 4, though the stories, I don't think most of those 5 stories will ever be told. But Zechariah chapter 4 is a real big one. It's the one not by power, not by might. It's really about building the house of prayer, but it shows up 5 times in 20 years in ways that are beyond somebody said, hey, I'm supposed to give you this word. It was a very alarming, alerting, and powerful ways. Okay, so now we're turning to the blueprint prophecy. We're going to the last page, which is the background. I want to give a little bit of the background. It's the green page on page 5, because the prophecy is 4 pages, but at the very back, we have the background. I want to just kind of go through this pretty quick, the background, and then we're going to just go through part of the 4 pages. And again, it's not like today it all happens. We've known we're in a transition. The Lord told me at the first of this 50 days, Jubilee. This is a Jubilee fast. Deborah Perkins had the Isaiah 66 dream back in May 2001, 18 months ago, that when we have the long fast and you do Isaiah 66 and the people tremble and they bow down, it's the hour to go on the line and to share the blueprint prophecy. And then as she shared it, it was like, wow, it took my breath away as I was remembering it. And then, wow. And this is the hour. This is the hour for it to begin. But it's not, I've never shared this publicly. And it does not begin until you go on the line. And for 18 years, I've held this almost, with very little exceptions, almost entirely private. It started on Friday, March 23rd, 1984. Bob Jones, the Friday afternoon, he comes, he says, I've heard the audible voice of the Lord. The Lord's going to give you blueprints Monday. Remember, 83 and 84, I told you when the most intensive prophetic things are happening. It was the time of promise, the years of the prophetic. He says, Monday, I heard it audibly from the Lord. You know, and again, so much was happening, and I was thinking, because this is the next week is the Noel Alexander, the Major General Alexander, and he saw the lilies and the millions of flowers in the intercession. That happens 1 week later. And another week or two after that is the April 84 Joseph's dungeon. In 10 years, it begins with wine. That was just a week or two after this word. Then another month or two or three after that is the Bob Jones July 3rd, 84, where the Lord calls him Mephibosheth, and he sees the healing procession to Arrowhead Stadium and the release of apostles in the city, etc. And then the next month, August 84, is my most powerful experience I've ever had in the Lord, where I had the heavenly experience with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 12, whether in the body or out. Paul said, I do not know, but I know this. I stood before the Lord in the third heavens, and the Lord spoke to me about this movement in August. And then September, March was intense, but so, 84 was intense, but so was 83. And then it began to lift after that. And then September, right after that, the next month, is when the Lord confirms this. And I'm going to tell you that story in just a moment. But he comes and he says, number one here, on Friday, he goes, on Monday, it's coming. Monday, it's coming. And I said, well, what's the blueprints? He goes, I don't know. I heard it audibly. He says, the Lord spoke to me. I heard it out loud. The blueprints are coming Monday. You have to know it. Then this is Friday, Saturday. He says, it's coming Monday. I see him at church Sunday. He goes, Mike, you have to take this serious. Monday are divine blueprints. Okay, Bob, I'm in. Do I look? Yeah, you do. And I don't know. And I said, okay. And I remember the energy he had about this. Okay, Monday comes, March 26th. A prophetic man, unknown to our team, he's at 4 hours out in rural Kansas somewhere. The Spirit of God came on him, and he writes down this prophecy, and he drives 4 hours. He doesn't call. No one's there. He leaves it in a big envelope on my desk. It says, confidential, Mike Biggles eyes only. And I think, well, what's this, you know? I get back later on that afternoon, maybe about 4 o'clock, and I guess sometime like that late afternoon, and Bob Jones, and I open it, and it's this prophecy, and it says in the cover letters, in the cover letter, it says, the Spirit of God fell on me, this, the Lord told me this was the blueprints for your whole movement. And I go, man, that's interesting, today's Monday, blueprints. And so Bob calls up, and he goes, did you get it? And I said, well, yeah. I said, it's a prophecy. It says these are blueprints. He goes, well, that's it. And again, I'm just not 100% sure, though I really believe in him. You just never know, you know. You can't be too careful. You know why? Because you're giving your heart to it. And when you give your heart to it, you can't play Russian roulette, prophetic Russian roulette, when you give your heart to it. And I've seen people do that for 20 years. They just play this game, and people are getting injured and hurt, and I don't like that. And I really don't like it when it happens to me. And so I said, well, we'll see. And so Bob, he says, you don't really believe it. I said, well, yeah. I mean, in the spirit of faith, I have a spirit of faith around it, sort of. I mean, yeah, it's kind of a cool word, you know. Sorry, it's a little grandiose, but other than that, you know, it's pretty neat. Yeah, it says a lot of things that I believe. It says house of prayer, because you don't remember a year ago at the solemn assembly, the Lord said house of prayer. I know the guy could have been at the meeting. I mean, he could have been there. You know, it says Joseph Company, but we've said it one or two sermons, Joseph Company, could have got Joseph Company. I said it could have been, you know, the five or six other things. It said bride. I said, I don't know anything about that yet. And it was some years later. I said, I don't get the bride thing, but it said forerunner. It said John the Baptist. It said a lot of those things that I didn't relate to yet at that time. And I said, well, you know, whatever. And I just kind of said, whatever, you know, if it's God, it will take care of itself. It's not the kind of thing that you're going to make happen. You're not going to make this prophecy happen. I guarantee you that. So it's not a matter of convincing people. That's one reason. And I felt there was a lot more damage telling it than not telling it, because people would get defiled in their spirit. It's called pride, but their spirit gets defiled. And then it just gets real goofy and out of sorts. So I said, no, I'm not telling it. And the Lord said in it that it don't go forward till God confirms it. And I believe that Deborah Perkins' dream that she had 18 months ago, and that we're on a long fast. I say Isaiah 66 trembled his word. I say the IHOPs are going to go north, south, east, and west. And I say that it's time for the blueprint prophecy. And I do the Isaiah 66 too without any concept of that dream. And I'm already determined the IHOPs are going to go north, south, east, and west. That's something that I haven't told the staff. I'm real clear about that. But it's not north, south, east, and west per se just in the city. It's north, south, east, and west throughout the Midwest. And the Lord has really spoken to me. I just haven't shared the vision yet. And so when she came and told me just the other day, I just said, I got something about that, actually, with a lot of energy. This is about the Midwest and going hard after it. And so it's far, far beyond just Kansas City, what we're talking about here. So the next event is number three here on September 13th, 1984. This has to be the strangest encounter I've ever had in the Lord. If the heavenly experience was the most exhilarating, this was absolutely the strangest encounter I've ever had in my life. And I don't want to try to tell you all the details, but I want to tell you a little bit, because I want to tell you a little bit of it. And one of the reasons I want to tell you, not just to entertain you, not just because it's curious, because these are things God does in the Holy Spirit. I've only shared this one time in 18 years, the story. But it's too complicated to go through the details. And in another setting, I'll give details. But here, I just want to say this. I'll give just some real broad strokes to it. Myself and Bob and Augustine and a few others, we go to a meeting in September, a couple days before the 13th, to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we're at this meeting, and it's a Sunday morning. It's about maybe 1,000 people. It's in a big gymnasium. And Augustine is on one side of the stage, and me and Bob Jones are completely on the other side. I mean, it's a really large auditorium, and what happens is that Augustine's prophesying to people, and Bob Jones whispers in my ear on the other side. He goes, "You see the lady in the red dress? The Spirit of God's on her." He goes, "You see it?" And I go, "Well, I see the red dress. I don't see the Holy Spirit on her." I go, "I don't really do that, but..." he says, "The Spirit of God's resting on her." So I'm way over here at this side of the stage, and Augustine's over there, and he's prophesying and going for it, and the Lord's on him, and me and Bob are just kind of watching. And then the next person Augustine calls out is that lady in the red dress. So I'm alerted. I said, "Bob, how did that just happen? How did he know out of 1,000 people?" That he goes, "Well, it's obvious. The Lord's all over." And I said, "Well, I don't see anything but the red dress." And Augustine called her out, and that was my first I was alerted. Because I'm the only one that watched that happen. And I said, "Huh, interesting." And so Augustine has her come forward. She's about maybe 70s, could be 80s. I mean, she probably 80s. I don't know. And 90 pounds, under 5 foot, just a little old thing. And she's just the cutest little thing. And Augustine says, "Mother, would you mind coming down forward?" And she has a real bad hip, and she had a real serious disease, and she's struggling, and people are like, "Augustine, give her a break. Just give her the word. I mean, my goodness, what are you doing?" You know, I'm kicking in my pastoral mode here. "Augustine, give her a break. You know, she can't get down here." He says, "No, the Lord wants her down here." I go, "I doubt it." I mean, inside. But he does. He does. I mean, it takes her forever to get down there because she's got her hip is just real bad. And everyone's helping her. And I'm thinking, "Augustine, just stop it. Tell her to sit down and give her the word. Let's go to her." He goes, "No, tell her to come down here." So she comes down here and he says, "Mother," he says, I just remember he called her that. He said, "I've never done this, but I'm going to do this." He said, "The Holy Spirit told me this. Will you pray for me?" I go, "What is he doing?" So we go down off the stage, and me and Augustine, and she lays hands on us, on the two of us. And this little 5 foot, 80, 90 pound little thing, she goes, "I'm telling you, this 70, 80 year old woman, she started praying in tongues. Oh my goodness. I mean, Corey Russell would have been embarrassed." I'm talking about, I'm serious. She had a volume and an authority. I went, "Whoa. What is this?" I go, sit to myself, "She's done this before." And it was anointed. She had authority in it. And she broke out. Diane, you were there. Remember this little gal down there? And she started, rah, 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 I mean, really going hard in tongues for a couple minutes. I mean, and it was like scary kind of, you know. It was like, wow, this is real. And then she started prophesying. She goes, "And I would give you the word of the Lord. I would speak the word of the Lord to you." And she looks at Bob Jones and, "The Lord has made you a prophet with understanding to the nation of Israel." I thought, boy, that's the truth. He has profound understanding. He goes, "He has communicated from his counsels about Israel to you directly." And I thought, that's true. That's true. And because now I'm remember paying attention that Bob saw her and whispered to me before Augustine called out. So I know there's a little bit of a divine setup going on here. I don't have any idea to what degree. And so then she begins to prophesy to me and Augustine. She's really focusing on Augustine, but it ends up, the prophecy is about me. Though she's looking at him, talking to him, it all ends up, it's about this blueprint prophecy at the end. And so she says, "Young man, you are clearly a prophet of the Lord." Well, that was obvious. He called out so many people, and it was such accuracy. And she says, "You have never seen... Never have you seen," she says, "no, you have seen good angels and you have seen bad angels, demons, with your eyes." He was shaking his head. And I knew that he had. She said, "But you have never seen an angel and a demon together in one experience. Never," says the Lord. And Augustine shook his head. He goes, "Never." And I found that was just an interesting word. She says, "But immediately you are going to see the two come together. They will have conflict together, and it will be manifest in the flesh undeniably. And the conflict they have will have proportions and meanings beyond anything you can comprehend. Thus says the Lord, it's going to happen. And this lady says all this, and wow. So we get in the car, we drive home. I go, Augustine, have you ever had an angel demon in one dream? One experience. He goes, I've seen an angel two or three times, and I've seen a demon two or three times, but never together. No. Wow. I said, what do you think about that? He goes, well, what do you think about it? I go, well, it certainly felt anointed. I mean, that guy was scary, kind of. So we're driving home. And what happens? I said, Augustine, has this ever happened to you? And he goes, no. And I said, what do you think it means? He goes, I don't know, but I know it's real. And I said, I know it's real, too, because Bob Jones was calling her out before you did. And it was a divine setup. And Bob says, I knew it. So a couple nights later, through this very, very unusual circumstances, a messed up car and a messed up this and that and the other, me and Augustine end up in a guy's house the same night in a house, which it just would never have happened, but it's because of a car messed up and this and that. And so we go to bed and everything's fine. And just on the driving home from Tulsa, because I'd never shared this word with Augustine, I said, Lord, if this word is of the level that I believe it is, you tell them and they will tell me. I won't even tell them it exists. And it was kept in real private. The smallest numbers of our leaders have seen this. I've shared it a few times with 4, 5, 6 of us over the years. And so Augustine, we're driving home from Tulsa. The Spirit's on him. He's prophesying. And he prophesies a number of key elements from this blueprint prophecy. I mean specific, word for word. So I said, okay, Augustine. I said, I've been holding out on you. This is September 13th or the day before. Or no, it's actually September 13th or whatever. And I said, I've been holding out on you. I said, I received a prophecy and I told him about it. And so we go, we're in this guy's house and in the weird situation. We're stuck in the house and we're going to go to St. Louis the next day. It's really inconvenient. We go to bed. So now it's midnight. And he's really touched by this prophecy. So we go to bed. And what happens this night? I'm going to give the broadest strokes of this, not the details, because it's complicated. The story is, it's fascinating. And I'll tell it some other time, a kind of a fireside chat night. But, you know, when it's freezing and the weather is real bad and everybody stays home when only 18 of you showed up, that's the kind of night we'll just say, let's just tell that one story. It'll take a half hour to an hour. And it's an incredibly fascinating story, what happened that night. But basically, an angel and a demon visited me and Augustine together. I've never had an experience with another person in the same room at the same time, and it happened. This demon comes up and strikes me on the right knee in such a fierce blow. My knee swells up. I began to sweat in pain. This demon strikes me in the leg. Just like that lady said, you're going to see a conflict between an angel and a demon, and it will manifest in the flesh. It manifests in my flesh. But I heard this 2 or 3 days ago, and I'm going, this is like so intense. I've never had anything like this before. It's so bad that I cancel a meeting. I am in agonizing pain. But anyway, it happened, and my knee is in pain for 30 days, but really bad for those, 12, 18 hours, whatever. And then 5, 6, 10 hours a day for 30 days. It would come and go. It would go instantly be gone and instantly be agonizing and instantly be gone. And I told Bob, I go, Jones, what is this? He goes, oh, I've had that happen once or twice. And he explained it. And I said, odd. Okay, now, but here's what the angel says. The angel in this experience says this. Says there is going to be great adversity that's going to come against you, that's going to even be noised abroad in the whole world. This is August 1984. And the angel spoke this specifically, the timing of it, and gave some of the people involved with incredible detail. And I said, this can't be true. And the reason the angel said this was not so we would know when it happened, it would happen. The reason the angel gave information of people involved, specific and exact timing, which was many years later, exactly said it, so much so that the month before everything began to break out, Noel Alexander, 6, 7 years later, said, well, if that visitation was from the Lord, next month is going to be one really intense month. And I told you 6 or 7 books were written, and it all happened the next month. And Noel said, that's intense. How did you know that 6 or 7 years ago it would happen right now? I said, it was clear. It was direct from an angel. exact information. But it really, the information was not so much about that time. It was about this prophecy. Because the Lord's wisdom was, if I'm going to give you that kind of detailed information, your legs swelled up. The lady a couple days ago told you in Tulsa it was going to happen. The exact details took place 6-7 years later exactly to the, I mean, it was precise to where our leadership team watched it. And it was so precise. It was frightening at the precision of it. I said, this is holy to the Lord. And so the angel says then in this experience, the angel says, the prophecy, the blueprint prophecy, it says it has much light. How do I have it written here exactly? It contains much truth and great light. The angel actually said that phrase. It has much truth and great light. Says this directly. And so my knees swelled up. The lady a couple days ago, the conflict of good and evil happened. It manifested in the flesh. 6-7 years later, exact fulfillment. And it says, however, my servant who gave it, and the angel gave 3 negative descriptions. I mean, very clear. A, B, C. A, B, C. I wrote it all down because I remember it so vividly right now. I don't know how you could forget it. I mean, it just is imprinted in my mind. And it wasn't until 1989, this is 84, 89, 5 years later, Noel Alexander goes on a 4-hour track into central Kansas, digs up this guy, and came back and says, did you ever know Bob Jones? He goes, never heard of the guy. And he says, what were you thinking? He goes, you know, the truth is, he says, I don't even think I like that church. I mean, he was just kind of a cranky old guy out all by himself. And Noel was just startled. He said, I don't even know if I even like him anymore. And he says, what do you know about him? He goes, well, nothing, but I don't even know him. And so Noel said it was the oddest 2 hours he ever had in his life. And the 3 things, which I don't want to go into, they were negative. Bob Jones said, they are exactly accurate. He goes, oh my goodness, you couldn't have said it more clearer than these exact 3 things. And so I said, I'm sure of that. That I'm sure of. And that was in 89. And then afterwards, the other things happened. But the angel said, and I heard the words. I actually heard the words. It says that there's much truth and great light. Much truth and great light. And again, the details, I'm happy to tell all the details at another time. But I was convinced of this. Absolutely convinced of this. Then number 4, on June 23rd in 92, I never told Paul Kane anything about this. And I've been close to him, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92. Only a few guys behind the scenes knew this. And Paul Kane came and he gave me, just like Augustine, a number of the phrases directly out of this prophecy. And I said, Paul, I've been waiting for 5 years for you to do this. But I shared the prophecy and he called me the next day because I was taking him to the airport when he told me all this. And he said, Mike, this is the word of the Lord. He goes, this is the true word of the Lord. Okay, number 8. It's November 7th. The Jubilee, the 50 days, is over today. The dream happened on Monday, November 4th, on the 47th day. Isaiah, it was the Isaiah 66 verse 2 that we did this. And I called the people to tremble. And Deborah comes up and says this. And she says, and in that dream 18 months ago, you said, we're going to the north, south, east, and west. And of course, I haven't even told her that. So this second, it's the first time she's hearing it. We are going to the north, south, east, and west in IHOP. But in the Midwest, I have a clear divine strategy. I don't mean all the details, but I have real clarity from God about this. And then in this dream 18 months ago, it says, and when this fast takes place, the Isaiah 62 takes place, when it's time to go to the north, south, east, and west, it is time to share the blueprint prophecy. And I says, man, I'm on this fast by accident. I didn't even plan. And let's turn to it. Let's turn to it and look at this now. How much time do we have, Don? Okay, 5 minutes. Good. Okay. No, that's okay. We'll go a minute or two beyond, but it isn't the reading of it. It's the giving of it. It's the going on the line. It's the burning the bridge. It's 18 years. This thing has been under lock and key for 18 years. Here's how it starts. Oh, by the way, this is edited. This is edited. And what I mean by edited, maybe a half a page is gone. And the editing isn't to be mysterious. It's because in no way did the editing enhance what is here. I wrote that on the last page there. The editing actually diminishes it slightly. There's a few things not in here. I just don't feel like it's helpful because of the strength of those few things are so intense that I mean in the scope of impact, I just don't feel it's helpful to have them in there. So I took a few things out. And the reason I'm saying that is not I'm trying to be mysterious again. In the days to come, 5, 10, 15 years, there will be an hour to bring it out unedited. I've waited 18 years. This thing is so holy. It is so special to me. I don't mean any words infallible given by a man in this regard outside the scripture. But I mean, this is a, God had went to a, God went to, and I, you're not out of his way. How do you say this? God emphasized this truth. This scripture is real. I mean, not the scripture. This prophecy is real. He emphasized it in these ways that I've just shared with you here and a few others as well, but I don't have time for. But it starts off, God shall confirm in your spirit. Do not proceed until he does. Well, God confirmed in my spirit November 4th on the 47th day when Isaiah 62, 6, I called our staff to trembling. We were in a spirit of dedication. I said, this is our dedication service. And I remember even saying, I go, I wonder why you were there. I said, I wonder why we're not doing this on the 50th day. Because I would think this would be on the 50th day. And the reason is because the Lord wanted this confirmed so I could get it ready for the 50th day to share. That's really why. As I'm sitting here, I go, oh, standing here tonight, I'm going, that's why the Lord wanted to confirm it. That dream, I'm so sure we're now beginning through the transition, the birth canal of a new season, and we're going to begin in this. It says, upon the confirmation, act immediately. Act immediately. Next paragraph, I'm skipping some. There will be another on the north, the south, the east, and the west. This is what I said in Deborah's dream 18 months ago. This is what I have said to just two or three people, leaders behind the scenes that no one even knows. They said, we're going to north, south, east, and west. It's not just north, south, east, and west of Kansas City. It's in the Midwest. Anyway, there's a lot to say about that. Okay. Next paragraph. In days past, the Lord said, you are a garden center of my choice. And I'm taking a few little phrases that I feel like this, anyway, you can just follow along there. He says, I'm going to raise up plants of renown. It shall be known and my ways shall be renowned. God's going to raise up not just young people, but mostly young people. And they will be renowned in their revelation and understanding. Renowned meaning known even around the world, even in their youth. I will bring and I will place leaders in their place. And I will bring almost everybody, not everybody, but most of you in this room, God brought you from another location. You were brought by the Lord sovereignly. And the majority will come from other places, just like 90% of you in this room were not in Kansas City, except for you came for the purpose of God. You were brought and you were placed. And that's a real powerful word to me. And goes on the next one. It says, even in the next paragraph, even out of it, and I'm skipping a lot for those that are listening to this by tape, but we're going to make this available. I'm going to go widespread with this. I'm going to publish it on the internet. I'm going to make a book out of it. I'm going all the way with this. I'm going to, by the word of my testimony, I'm not backing her down. My point isn't, I'm going to ask people to believe this. That's not the point. My point being is all the things I've shared for 12 nights are only seeds. All the things I've shared for 12 nights, and I'm just making this, I'm not saying this specifically, could be a book every night is a book in its own. And I'm going to begin to give myself to writing, publishing. I'm going to proclaim this set stuff to the ends of the earth. And I'm not looking back, and I'm taking you guys with me. And that's a warning and a promise. Okay. And, I mean, this is really important because it's time to go. And this is going to disturb all kinds of things and bless all kinds of things. Angels and demons are going to collide again. And the experience that the Lord used to confirm this word is the very kind of collision that's going to come when this word starts going forth. There will be clashes of angels and demons in manifestation in the flesh. That was the word that God used. And an angel visited and said this word was from the Lord, in essence. Much truth and great light was the word, and described the man that gave it in three ways that were not flattering. And they found exactly true and exactly the precision of the people and the dates of all the negative that happened 6 and 7 years later. Exactly. Again, I just want to say this. Noel Alexander said the month before everything got negative, he says, well, if that word is real from that angel, it starts next month. And it started next month. Exactly. And he went, man, that was intense. He goes, how did you know that? Because he knew. I mean, we were just talking. He knew it was an angel who said it. It was that kind of clarity. I have no doubt about this. And so I'm not going to, I'm going to tremble. See, you know why it's trembled, the word? The way we would not tremble this word is by reducing it. I am not reducing this to make some guy happy. I'm trembling. This is God's word. It's finished. Let it land where it lands. I'm not going to be more humble than God. I'm not going to reduce it. And when I do my human weakness thing, I'm not backing off. I'm taking grace and I'm moving forward. I'm going to esteem His word and His strength and His dedication superior to mine. It's going to be done. That's all there is to it. We're just doing it. And so there you have it. Okay, even out of the loins of the bloodline of the flesh of Abraham, that's the Jewish nation, I said there would be many seeds, many nations, kindreds, and tongues. I will raise up, and there shall flow many sons and daughters. They shall be known. They shall be renowned. Even around the world is the idea. Even as the children of the renowned, they shall be. These children shall flow out of my spirit. They shall be spiritual children. They will inhabit the uttermost parts of the earth. They will go to the out-of-way places, it says later. I'm getting ahead of myself. Next paragraph. You shall set an order. In other words, I'll give you prophetic clarity is the next paragraph. The paragraph after that. Upon acting upon this, I will confirm it powerful, the oil of God. And there's a lot of things to say about that phrase, but we're going to move on. They shall flow from the north, the south. They shall come and be dandled, or that's the Lord fondly, the Lord gently nurturing in His kindness His people. And that verse actually is in Isaiah 66, and it just strikes me. I believe it's verse 12 or 13. That's amazing, because that was Deborah's other part of the dream. That just strikes me this second. Wow. She told me that just today. Okay, wow. That's pretty cool. And wow, that is cool. No, because, anyway, that's cool. Because this is the concept. Remember on the about day 30, we had a Native American, one of the primary leaders in the prayer movement, from a Native American, and I think Cherokee tribe. And Deborah was up front praying in tongues, and he came up to me afterwards, and he said, that girl up there, and he pointed to her, she prayed in my native tongue. And this was the verse she prayed. It just strikes me right now. I just put this together like, oh my goodness. This was the idea. It was these two verses together. He says she prayed this and this. And Deborah told me the day before the meeting, I said, that's really neat. It's Isaiah 66. It's not verse 2, but it's Isaiah 66. And I just, wow, okay. That was just for me. Okay, next page. Oh, I like the top paragraph. Their responsibility lies within me. In other words, having oil in our lamps. I mentioned that last night. Their safety is in being close together in wholesome, mature relationships. It goes on, third paragraph, I will be your purse bearer. It says in the middle of this that I'm going to do this and that before the cities become desolate. Now, that's a very interesting statement with a lot of implications. It goes on to the next one. The load will be too heavy. I'm sending men and women, and they're going to have authority, and they're going to be holy, and they're going to be committed to me. It goes on to the last one. I will be your purse bearer. I will give the power to make wealth. This will be a forerunner type ministry. Go to the next page, page 3. Of course, I'm skipping most everything. Third paragraph. This is why I taught on this the other day, and this is why we got to be bold about it, because we got to get people ready. It says, I will bring them up into, no, that's not the one. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 paragraphs down. I'm going to take people up in the spirit, catch them away in the spirit. It will not be commonplace, these heavenly experiences, but it will happen, I mean, commonplace to where people have them every other day and it's trite and it becomes just something that humans take for granted. But it will happen instead of significantly more, though it will still be rare and stunning and holy. God is going to begin to catch people up and talk to them like in the days of old. He goes on at the very end. He says, if they're stubborn and they're obstinate and rebellious, not weak, not immature, and not a little bit emotional. That's not what it's talking about. We're all weak. We're all immature. We all get a little emotional. We all get in a bad mood at the worst time, and they're like, oh, gee, I guess I'm out now. No, you're not out. You're not out. Everybody gets in a bad mood at the worst time. Okay. It's different than a persistent rebellion against God. Okay. But I like that phrase in black bold there. This is the day of my visitation. The way Bob told me on Friday, it's going to happen on Monday. For some reason, that was important to the Lord. And here it was on that Monday, March 26th. It was somehow it's important. Last page. Again, I'm skipping almost all of it. For those that are hearing the tape, we got about 1 minute to go. The third paragraph. All of this flows out of the house of prayer. This is 84. This is in 84. He says, it's all going to flow out of the house of prayer. Where's the one I really love about the out of the way places? Oh, I love that one. Somewhere it says they're going to go to. Oh, yeah, that's the one. Let's go to the second paragraph to the last. Here's my real favorite one. The second paragraph to the last is truly my favorite. For I place in your hands the final decision. This is true of every individual. Faith is by my grace. Here's the part I like. In my grace is my tolerance and my contingency for human weakness, for flesh. I go, oh, that's my very favorite one. And then the last one, it says that these servants are going to go, they're going to be servants. They're not going to be show horses. They're going to be workhorses. They're going to go to the out-of-the-way places. They're not going to just go to the big places so that they get all the lights and the da-da-da. They're going to go to the out-of-the-way places as servants. Oh, I love that. Amen. Let's stand.
This concludes this tape presentation from Friends of the Bridegroom. For more information on resources available from Mike Bickle, as well as news about upcoming conferences and live broadcasts, visit our website at www.fotb.com. Thank you.